every last Friday of the month. Current State looks back on Michigan news stories that continue to resonate. A lot has happened this month.
Take a vote, not a vacation.
For those who don't support the direction the federal government is headed, there is a difference in philosophy or a difference in strategy.
What is happening with the cost of the auto insurance is really hurting our economic recovery in Michigan.
The only people who are going to win in this one is going to be the insurance companies.
Irrespective of the science behind it, the legislature, they were hell-bent on creating this wolf hunt.
And unless there is new and more relevant information that comes forward, the likelihood is I will still be voting no on this.
In order to get people out of their cars, you've got to be able to provide enough frequency for them to be able to want to use the service.
Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's what's best for children. It's what's best for society.
Momentum is just going to continue to build. We are ready to achieve full equality under the law.
Here for Current State's Month in Review segment, weighing in on Medicaid expansion, the road ahead for marriage equality in Michigan, Common Core, the city of Detroit, all of those stories with legs. The host of WKAR-TV's Off the Record, Tim Skubick. Hi, Tim.
Morning. How you doing, Marky?
Real well. Jonathan Osting of MLive, nice to see you.
Likewise.
And Emily Lawler of the Michigan Information and Research Service, that's MERS.
Thanks.
Hi, Emily.
Thanks for having me.
Arguably the biggest story of the month in Michigan was the Senate's inaction on Medicaid expansion. It's not often we see Governor Rick Snyder looking terribly disapproving, but he certainly did look that way when he uttered words that will ring in our ears for a while. Here is the governor, fresh off his sudden return to Lansing from Israel for a bout of arm twisting.
A majority of the House of Representatives supports Healthy Michigan. I, as governor, support Healthy Michigan. I believe there's actually most likely a majority in the Senate that supports Healthy Michigan. But if it doesn't come to a vote, it doesn't get done. That's not the right answer for Michigan. And my understanding is they're going to recess and leave. That's not right. Take a vote, not a vacation.
Let's make some sense out of the current landscape here for us. The governor declined to order the Senate back, but he's still stumping for expansion, and a work group is holding meetings. Tim Skubick, what does this all add up to?
Well, there's been some major developments this morning. We just came out of the studio with Randy Richardville, and here's the poop. There, can you say that on public radio?
You can say that one.
Okay, I just did. There will be a committee vote, Mr. Richardville says, sometime in July to move this legislation if they can come to an agreement. He says there will be a vote he plans in August to pass something. He met with the governor yesterday in a very intense half-hour meeting where it became clear that the governor would drop from his lexicon the word vacation. Senators did not like that. And so that, and there will be no robocalls, and there will be no billboards. And so there's a bit of peace is at hand here between Mr. Richardville and the governor. They're not there yet. Mr. Richardville also announced that he will likely be adding two or three Democrats to the work group that was formed this week that was all Republicans. So that is movement. That's as a result of his conversation with this morning with Gretchen Whitmer, the Senate Democratic leader. She made the request. He says it's likely he will honor it. So the passion of the past week, which is still a great story, we all agree, okay, and was fun to cover, that appears to be moving on now. I said, Mr. Richard, are you and the governor on the same page? He said, yep. We are in the same book. Take that and mean that as you so choose.
Can we infer anything about what's in the measure from your encounter?
They don't know, and that's what they're working on, okay? The waivers need to be in the package, they said, but they're very concerned about what happens if the feds bail out on the state. The Republican speaker has said the program will end. Mr. Richardville says we don't believe that. And so that's one of the issues that they're going to work on. So it looks, he says, we're on a path. We're on a path, which is where the process is supposed to be.
Emily Lawler, any response to that development?
Yeah, I think that the Senate's going to want to put their own spin or touch on these bills. The House version, the governor's office had worked really closely with the House to come up with what they came up with. And I think that the Senate didn't take a vote on it because they just weren't sure. The administration hadn't been working as closely with the Senate, it appears, as they were with the House. And I think that the Senate has some room to make changes before they take a vote.
Politically, the Senate's inaction on Medicaid expansion underscored philosophical differences between centrist Republicans like the governor and more conservative Republicans. Could the governor's support of Medicaid expansion help repair any of the damage he sustained over right to work or taxing pensions or anything like that? Jonathan Osting, any thoughts on that?
I certainly think there's a segment in the middle of the political spectrum that's going to appreciate the governor's push, especially if he is able to succeed with the push. That's the big question, whether that will happen. It's certainly not helping him any with the Tea Party, of course, which wasn't a huge fan of his to begin with. And it looks like his support for right to work didn't necessarily spell long-term support from them either.
Tim Skubick, we're lucky to have you right on the heels of shooting Off the Record. Anything else you can share with us regarding that you're willing to share with us?
No, I'm all about transparency. Isn't that the code word in town? Look, this was a very tense exchange. Mr. Richardville said that he thought it was a learning experience for the governor. All the governors that I've covered, some of them incorrectly assume that their leader in the legislature is their leader and please carry the water for me. And most of the time they do. Richardville has been very cooperative with this governor. They've had their disagreements. But at the end of the day, as Mr. Richardville points out, the caucus elected me, not the governor. And so his bottom line loyalty is to the caucus. And his guys and ladies were simply telling him we're not ready to move. In fact, he told the governor not to come back from Israel, because nothing was going to happen.
Wow.
And Richardville believes that the governor's staff gave him more optimistic information than was accurate on the vote and the head count. So he basically said, stay in Israel, have a couple more bagels, and come back when you're ready, and we'll work on this thing. But the governor came back with the anticipation that all he had to do was show up and say, here I am, guys, let's do this. And guess what? It didn't. So and the D's are going to make hay on this. They're going to say this was a lack of leadership on his part, and it's something that they will bang the governor over the head on, and I think he knows he's going to get that.
We've got a Republican Medicaid expansion proposal that's been put into play by Senator Patrick Colbert. Help me with the last name here, from Hillsdale County, I believe.
No, it's Caswell.
Caswell.
Caswell. There we go. Does this development bode well for Senator Caswell's legislation, or do we know?
We do. Richardville said it's probably a non-starter.
But
they will look at it because there might be elements in it. I'm sorry to take away your question.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Gay rights supporters in Michigan and all across the country are celebrating two Supreme Court rulings from Wednesday on DOMA and on gay marriage in California. These developments have equal rights advocates very upbeat and confident. Here is Emily Devendorf 24 hours ago here on Current State talking about the high court's rulings.
That is not something that is going to move backwards. That is something that is only going to keep moving forward. So certainly whether we got bad news yesterday or even better news, there's enough work to be done still that we are just going to keep moving forward, and the base is really just building, and more people are coming to our side every day, so that Gary's friends tend to be the outliers on this issue at this point.
She was referring to Gary Glenn, who was on the telephone at the same time. Jonathan Osting, what kind of response at the Capitol or in downtown Lansing have Wednesday's rulings triggered? What are people saying?
Well, Democrats are certainly excited about it. They view it as another form of momentum. They've introduced legislation to overturn the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Republicans, however, probably unlikely to take that up. There is a movement in terms of the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. Republicans are saying that they'd be willing to consider updating that law. But I don't think we're going to see any moves legislatively on Michigan's same-sex marriage ban. It's probably going to end up in the courts or on the ballot in 2016.
Emily, what are you hearing about the impact these rulings are likely to have on the gay marriage ban? Is the gay marriage ban's days numbered?
You know, it's interesting because there's a pending court case in Wayne County right now, a federal court case, that the judge wanted to see these Supreme Court rulings before he decided what to do. And he's deciding the question of whether Michigan's ballot initiative ban or constitutional ban on gay marriage is legal or not.
This is Judge Friedman?
Yep. Yeah. So he's got some reading to do, I'm assuming, of the Supreme Court opinions, and he could strike down Michigan's ban on gay marriage at that level. So there could be some legal implications.
Is a ballot proposal the most likely road ahead, Tim Skubick?
I don't think there's any question about it. I think we're headed for, they say, don't mix politics and religion. Stand by, sport fans. This one's going to be very interesting. Catholic Church already lining up, denouncing the Supreme Court decision and suggesting that if indeed there is a petition drive, that they will mount a campaign to make sure if it gets on the ballot that it will be defeated, that, quote, the status quo is kept. That's from Paul Long, who's the head of the Michigan Catholic Conference. And then Ms. Diefendorf basically is equally passionate about raising $12 million to collect the signatures to get a yes vote on this thing. So I think we're headed for a showdown in 2016.
Well, the left is clearly energized and confident. Some sources, I think, Tim, we're thinking about the same sources here, claim that by November 2016, support for marriage equality in Michigan could top 60%. But could the rulings re-energize the right as well? Emily, any thoughts?
You know, I'm not sure that it will. This may be one of those issues that people just aren't jazzed up about anymore. I mean, it's not politically correct. We saw a huge backlash against Dave Ajima when he posted anti-gay comments on Facebook, and I'm just not sure that there's as much of a forum or a venue for anti-gay marriage views as there used to be. So whether or not anyone will be motivated to create that forum, I guess we'll see with this ballot drive who puts money into it or against it.
Attorney General Bill Schuette's resistance or support of the gay marriage ban in Michigan plays into this as well, though, because Mr. Glenn told us yesterday on Current State he knows that the Attorney General will take this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary.
Sure, the Attorney General did file a brief, actually, in the California case that was before the Supreme Court. He's also filed a brief in the federal case in Detroit, defending Michigan's law. As he says, it's not a discriminatory policy, but an affirmation of traditional marriage. So he's certainly going to keep the fight alive.
Mark, this is a bit of a conundrum for this governor.
You picked exactly where I was going to go next.
I can actually read upside down. I'm a journalist. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
What does this guy do?
Exactly.
Right now, what he's doing is nothing. I got in the news car. And when this decision popped, I said, I got to talk to this guy. So we went down to Battle Creek, okay? And so, Governor, what do you think of this decision? Well, I haven't read it yet, and I know where this is going to go, okay? But you got to ask him the questions. And basically, after a minute and a half, he gave me absolutely nothing. He said, I'm not wading in to the middle of a federal lawsuit, and I'm staying focused on healthy Michigan and jobs. But here's his problem. I know he doesn't want to offend the conservative base, but in a general election where the electorate, if the polls are correct, and Mr. Glenn is not sure that they are, but let's assume that they are, independent voters and moderates might be more on board.
Absolutely.
And so the governor, what does he do?
Exactly.
Does he play to them? Does he keep his mouth shut and potentially lose them? You know what? I bet you he gets a lot of heat back in Ann Arbor on this issue.
Sure.
I know they were not happy with him when he vetoed the health care benefits for folks at the university. He said that was a fiscal decision, but a lot of people in Ann Arbor said, no, it was a social decision and we can read the tea leaves, Governor. So this is a problem for him. It's not a deal breaker, but it's interesting to watch how he handles it. And so far he's saying nada.
He has been able to sidestep a lot of hot button social issues. He is averse to taking positions
he's the best I've ever seen.
He's kind of a technocrat. He is a guy
who's a pragmatic technocrat. He's a career politician.
But that moves the timeline up as well. We've been focused on November 2016 and a ballot reversal. The election for the governor is November 2014. Yeah. That moves it up.
Let me correct that. He's acting like a career politician. Okay. He would take umbrage to the fact of being described as a career politician.
The governor's logic on this is that he doesn't want to weigh into a federal issue, at least with the case before the Supreme Court. He's done that in a few instances with immigration.
But this is a state issue, isn't it?
Well, exactly. He said that he doesn't want to weigh in until it directly impacts Michigan. So if the Supreme Court ruling would have, he might have had an opinion on it then. But supporters are obviously making the case that this does have an impact on Michigan families, on Michigan gay couples, on the Michigan economy even, which is something that the governor certainly doesn't shy away from weighing in on.
And maybe once it is a ballot initiative, we saw him take positions on all six of the ballot initiatives last time around. So I would think that once voters are deciding, he would weigh in.
Oh, I want to hear that.
How many conservatives do you think might be led to reexamine their positions on gay marriage after the Supreme Court ruling?
No, the ones who are true believers will not.
But I think that there are some who are maybe looking for an excuse to, you know, break from the party's not welcome stance, you know?
Doesn't a Supreme Court decision, though, to almost by definition, get people to reexamine their positions?
I'm not so sure.
No, Skubic, no.
Reexamine, reaffirm the positions they already have. You can read into it what you want to read into it, I guess.
I want to jump into what you feel was the most underreported story of June. What didn't get enough exposure to daylight?
So the results of the Michigan Merit Exam came out this week. It's an exam given to all 11th graders and showed basically some very large achievement gaps between different demographics and different groups. Economically disadvantaged are performing, you know, lower than the average. But also African-American students in this state are having a really hard time. There's something like 4% of them are proficient in science compared to 29% of students generally tested. So I think that the state's going to have to kind of address some gaps like that. You know, how can we help our English language learners, our poor students, and our African American students catch up?
Someone on WKAR radio, I don't know if it was from NPR or if it was Rick Pluta or who it was, but they referred to the achievement gap as the civil rights issue of the 21st century.
And I believe it. I mean, honestly, when you look at some of these numbers, they're disturbing.
Jonathan Osting, underreported story of June?
Sure. Well, it got a little press when the Board of Canvassers certified the petitions, but right now there's a petition drive being organized by Right to Life of Michigan, which is basically seeking to bypass the governor's veto last year on legislation that would prohibit abortion coverage in insurance policies, both public and private. Those efforts are really ramping up this month and next month. Right to Life is going to have volunteers out at summer fairs, farmers' markets. They're even talking to volunteers about how to seek signatures at their churches. So that's going to really ramp up this month.
Tim Skubith, the underreported story of June?
I got nothing. I thought long and hard last night. I thought of coming up here. I think we're all doing a great job.
Yeah, you've been doing too much reporting, Tim.
Yeah, but you can never do enough, right, Emily?
A few weeks ago, Governor Snyder signed a budget into law that did not include funding for adopting Common Core education standards. Again, the governor and other Republicans support them, but not enough. Where's the discussion on Common Core, Emily?
Honestly, I think that it's a policy issue that the people that oppose it seem to not understand very well. There's discussion about it being, you know, a big federal mandate, and it's not a federal mandate. It was started and signed on to by a bunch of individual states, and basically
Michigan was one of them.
Michigan was one of them. And, you know, for Michiganders, it's a question of, you know, if you move to another state, if you move to Ohio and your kid's in sixth grade, you have an assurance that they'll be on track. You know, when you move from Michigan to Ohio, they'll be at relatively the same place in the same curriculum. So without that assurance, yeah, you really can't protect your kids like that and know that they're going to be at the place you want them to be.
Jonathan, Common Core?
Yeah, it's essentially on pause right now. I mean, by inserting that language that prevents funding, that takes place in the next fiscal year. So really, they're going to come back to it, you know, this fall and potentially revisit the issue. So Common Core is certainly not dead in Michigan, but there's certainly a lot of opposition to
that. But are our minds being changed in the as we wait, though?
Yes. With this discussion right here, I just thought of an underreported story. Let's take a look at the groups that are supporting Common Core: transportation and Medicaid, chambers of commerce, business groups, traditionally in our town very strong. What have they got to show for their efforts? Zippo. They're being taken to the cleaners by people that oppose Common Core. Look, the business community says, we want to make sure, and educators are saying, the kid in Ontonagon gets the same education as the kid in Okemos. And they're suggesting this is a way to do it. But yet, all of these special interest groups, which have been very powerful in the past, have nothing to show for their support on these issues. I think that's been underreported, and it's actually an original thought for a Friday morning.
Dan Howes might have beaten you to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Dan Howes.
I guess I'll leave now.
In yesterday's Detroit News, definitely a related thought. He writes, quote, "The consensus for disciplined budgeting, tax reform, and business friendliness, hallmarks of Governor Rick Snyder's first 2 years, is giving way to an internecine battle between the governor and his own Republican Party that threatens to stall the comeback he so frequently touts. Roads, Medicaid expansion, Common Core curriculum standards, increased funding for higher education, all of it and more are getting mired in an ideological battle that mostly doesn't include the minority Democrats." If a comeback got started, is it stalled, and do conservative Republicans have to own that?
Well, look, it's not over yet, all right? We still have a couple more innings to go, and don't give up on this governor, because he is relentless, if anything else, and he usually gets his way, which was part of the problem in this debate over Medicaid. People were telling me privately, you know, he's not always going to get his way. You know, you just can't be the CEO and come and tell the legislature what to do, okay? So this is why there was a learning experience. But he's got plenty of time to snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat. It takes time. That's what the process is.
What are you working on right now, Emily? What are you looking at the next few days, few weeks?
You know, while the legislature's on break, I have some more time to dive into deeper level policy issues. So hopefully you'll be seeing some good stuff coming out.
Beach reading, probably.
And beach reading.
Jonathan, what are you working on?
Well, I am reporting on the petition drive, an update on where that stands with the abortion insurance issue. And also, I spent some time in the Capitol yesterday checking out the work that's being done there, and I'm going to have a story on kind of the historical implications of the new carpet and rewiring.
Very interesting. So. Tim Skubick, what are you going to be watching in July?
When the legislature's gone, this is a fun time. Because this is where you earn your keep. You actually have to make phone calls. We're going to have John Dingell on the show next week. And I'm following up on this Richardville stuff to try to get my arms around what's going to happen next.
Very good. We want to thank all of our guests. Tim Skubick, host of WKAR-TV's Off the Record, Jonathan Osting of MLive, and Emily Lawler of MERS. Thank you, one and all. See you soon.
Thanks, Marty.
Thanks.